Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and welcome to PWN Radio, Woman in the Morning, broadcasting woman-owned radio shows 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. I'm your host, Franciele Deary, and you're listening to Mommy Mondays on Full Time Mom Radio. Your village, moms, to be supported in motherhood. Thank you so much for listening to us every Mommy Monday. And if you want to join in on the conversation, please call us at 602-753-1726. Again, the number is 602-753-1726. And if you are listening to us on demand, thank you. I totally get it. As a mom, sometimes 12 noon doesn't work. If that's because you're a stay-at-home mom and you got the lunch, you know, to put together, or simply because you're at work and you don't have lunch until 1 or 2, or you're in a different time zone, whatever the case may be, thank you for taking the time out of your day to come back and listen to us. So it is 2015. How exciting. I just cannot believe time went by this fast, and we're already in a new year, and we're just getting everything together. I know the kids, some of the kids went back to school, and my daughter did, and let me tell you, this week has been pretty hectic and overwhelming for myself. Thank God I have just the support system around me, such as my husband and my in-laws, and especially my parents, because really creating that support system, regardless if you have your in-laws or your parents around, I mean, create something with your friends, because it really, really helps. I have been in and out of hospital, and at 30 weeks pregnant, and things are going really, really well, but I just keep contracting and going back and forth, and it's exhausting. So with it being the first day back, my daughter, I had my dad just take her, and I rested up a little bit beforehand. So really just, it's just been a crazy, hectic week. And I can just imagine how everybody else's week has been. And if it's been great, kudos to you. And if it hasn't, I totally get it. It doesn't matter what circumstance you're going through. It's just the feelings and the overwhelming and everything that you're going through. I totally, totally get it. So I am just so, so, so excited to introduce our guest today. And I am so excited that we met and how we met and just through an introduction. So I think that's really it's so much fun when you are able to get connected with someone through someone that you previously known, and just how everything unfolds after that, and how just similarities and just different things that come about. So it's just really, really exciting to have that happen. And I'm sure many of you can relate to that, regardless if it's in a business relationship or if it's in a personal relationship or if even it's just through friendship. Those really great connections you get, and just how it unfolds from there. So I just am so excited. And what I'll do is I'll introduce her after, just let me read a little bit about what she's up to. Especially with her husband. I think it's so awesome when you have a power couple. My husband and I, we do the same very thing. We're doing business together, and sometimes, you know, I want to choke him, but it's okay. This is why we have people like our guests in our life. So if you are wondering how to raise a family to go from your biggest dreams and keep the intimacy alive in your marriage, this is the couple to watch. I think that's so huge. Intimacy alive. I know that sometimes you want nothing to do, right? So Jennifer, CEO and co-founder, runs FamilyCo.com alongside her husband, Peter. They specialize in helping people whose relationships didn't turn out how they thought they would have amazing relationships anyway. Peter and Jennifer's partnership has lifted them up to fulfill their most cherished dreams and accomplish what they couldn't have done it on their own. They are speakers, mentors, and trainers of their flagship program, Relationship Success Secrets. Peter and Jennifer have a blended family comprised of a 12-year-old son, 3-year-old son, 27-year-old daughter, and 3 grandchildren. Jennifer studied interpersonal relationships for 20 years, holds a degree in biopsychology and a master's of science, and Peter leads programs for 6 years for one of the largest personal development companies in the world. So let me get her in. Hold on 1 second. Jennifer, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Francieli. I'm really excited to be here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfect. We're excited to have you with us. I read just a brief summary of what you and your husband do. I think is phenomenal and just so neat. So thank you for taking this on and just really spreading your message and your expertise to so many couples and so many relationships.
Thanks. We're excited to share. This is our favorite subject, so anytime I get the chance to talk about it, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, definitely. So how are you? How was your break? I don't know if you had a crazy break like I did.
Mine's probably not as crazy as yours. I'm only 24 weeks pregnant. but we did have the flu run through our whole family over the last week. We have a 3-year-old, a 12-year-old. My husband got it. But now everybody's back at school and back at work for the first time. So just happy to be alone and working without anything to clean up.
Yeah. Oh. You know, there's that flu that was going around. It was over here as well, and there's a few families that were sharing on Facebook, like, you know, through the school network, and them too. They had gotten the flu for those 2 weeks, and it's still a lot of work, regardless of the circumstance, right? So, well, we have snow over here. I know you're probably in a much sunnier place than we are. But just got snow last night, or actually all day yesterday, and then some last night. And so it's like winter wonderland. We did not have that for Christmas, but I'm looking out my window right now, and nice snow.
It must be beautiful. Well, we're in San Diego, and we had our first snowfall in the local mountains. So it didn't snow in San Diego, but the snow level came down to 1,000 feet. So you can drive about an hour from here and get to, you know, 3,000-4,000 foot level. And I heard over the weekend there was a 5-hour wait to get into the mountains, which is only an hour away. Because
wow.
Everyone was so excited to see the first snow. So we didn't go. But
it's a little different from Chicago.
There's not as many people. Yeah, we're a little crazy, but we don't get snow that often, so.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I mean, just to start off, tell me a little bit about your company and your mission, how everything got started.
Yeah, so my husband Peter and I, we started Family Co. A couple years ago. It was really, we've been working with people in their relationships, couples and singles, on how to have, you know, really extraordinary relationships. You know, it's like there's, you know, we all go through these times when they're great, and then there's times when it's like, oh, it's harder, it's not so good. And then, you know, if we don't make it through those times where we're really able to resolve things, it kind of builds up over time and can really get in the way of our sense of feeling close. And my husband and I are both, you know, this is not our first rodeo. We've both been married before and got divorced. And through our own experience and learning coaching and some of our intellectual property that we've developed, we decided that we really wanted to work with parents and help them to create a kind of partnership that you can just, you know, you can just back up against, you know, you can count on it. And it's not just for married parents, but also for parents that are not married to each other anymore. You know, there's you know, divorce situations where maybe you want to be able to get along better with your ex and you don't know how to do that. So some of the things that we do, it, you know, for us, it's all about the kids. At the end of the day, it's like, if I can have the parents get along, you know, you want to put your kids first, but sometimes you don't know how. That's what we're here for, is to help you to really resolve things and strengthen your relationship so that you really can put the priorities first that you care about.
Yeah, that's really good. I totally am on that, I guess, that journey with my daughter's father. So for you just to really emphasize that and really have that strong desire to really help with the communication and just how the, you know, how the relationship could look and just be resolved by just the different tools and resources you provide, right? I think that's really huge. I mean, regardless if it was a single mom situation or even a married situation, I think there's still a lot that may happen and go on. So I think that's really good.
Yeah, our 12-year-old son is from my first marriage, and my first husband and I, we live about 3 miles apart from each other. He's remarried. They're starting trying to have kids of their own, and it's amazing how far we've come, because it didn't always, you know, we were together 11 years. It wasn't always like this, and there was a reason we got divorced. But now, you know, his wife, I adore her. And when there's a soccer tournament, my 12-year-old's in, we're all carpooling together. We're all really pulling together as a family. It's amazing. Like, he'll come over for dinner. My husband will come over for dinner, and my husband will cook dinner. And then there'll be, like, the three of us at the table, or the four of us with my ex-husband's new wife. And he'll sit in my husband's lap, who's his stepdad, and hug him and say, I love you. And then he'll sit in his dad's lap and say, I love you. And there's nothing weird, because, you know, I think we all want to leave the past behind, but to actually do it is something. It really takes something. So I use my kids as a barometer. I like to see how they are, because he is so free. He's so happy. I'm like, okay, we've done a good job of letting go of that past to the extent that he cannot be impacted by it today. And of course, there's things with my own husband, you know, about having, now that he's a stepdad, brought into a blended family, like how that all works. There's just a lot of relationship stuff
that's good.
Set your sights on, you know, at a higher level.
Yeah, I think that's really good. We experienced that with my husband, because he became instant dad. So, I mean, just reading through just the different things that you teach and that you have as a resource, you know, just with your expertise, I think is really, really great. It's so needed. I don't think it's talked enough about. I think sometimes we get prideful or maybe even like embarrassed, like, okay, this relationship didn't work, but, you know, now I'm in a new relationship and now I have to try harder or I have to be a certain way so that that doesn't happen again. And I think then that's how we get so consumed by like the doing and just everything that is going on, and we really don't look at the bigger picture or just what, you know, like it could be. And so I think that's really good that you like bring that into a different perspective and into a different light. You create this like awesomeness to it, right? Versus it being so heavy and significant. So you know, it's really good.
Cool, in a pretty unique way. Like, there's so much advice out there on how to be a parent and, you know, what to do when and how to say this. And, you know, if you pick up Cosmo, it's like the 10 things to say to your spouse and all that stuff, which is fine. But from our perspective, when my husband and I, when we're teaching people, we really, our aim is to give you a way to be able to shift how you see what's happening. Like, give yourself a 30,000-foot view, because it is so easy to get caught up in the little things. You know, he and I, we get caught up on the little things. We're not perfect, you know. And so what are the tools that you use to help you stay really connected to what really matters so that you don't get lost in the day-to-day life, which let's face it, is really busy. It can be really busy. And so, you know, one of my favorite examples is, like, imagine I was holding a coffee cup with a handle, and I was holding the handle side, and I held it out to you, and I was like, hey, Francieli, grab my coffee mug. You would stick your hand out and to grab the mug, and the shape of your hand, what would it look like? It would be like the letter C, right? Because you're going to grab the side without the handle.
Right.
And
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Now,
yes.
If I turn the cup the other way around, right, if I hold the smooth side and I push the handle towards you, you're going to reach out and grab the handle with, like, your two fingers hooked, right? Hands are going to be totally separate or different. So what's happening is, without even realizing it, you're actually reacting differently to that coffee mug because of the way you see it, because of the position it's in. It's obvious. Like, you don't think about your hand that, oh, I have to put my hand like this if I'm looking at this side of the cup, or if I put my hand like that if I'm looking at the handle side of the cup. You never think about that. So, but you react automatically because of how you see it. So for us, if you're having a reaction, like maybe your husband says, you know, it's fine for the kids to eat cookies all day and you don't think it's fine, or, you know, you go out to the store for 5 minutes, you come back and the house is a mess. you know, it's like you can yell at them, like, why are you doing that? It doesn't make sense. It's frustrating. Or you just, you know, kind of suck it up and put the toys away, or what, you know what I mean? But until you can actually shift your view of what's happening, you can't really have a great conversation about it, because you're looking at one side of the cup and they're looking at the other side. And so it's just like a log jam, right? You're just banging heads against each other. So in our work, we want to be able to show you all the sides so that you can really communicate and get it, you know, get what they're coming from, and they can get where you're coming from.
That's really good. I think it's really important to get all of the sides. I don't think I know that when you're in that moment, in that fight or that argument or whatever you want to call it, you're like, you see it only one way. It's usually your way because you're right.
Right? Of course you are.
So to just give that example about the coffee cup, it's like, oh, wow, I see it this way. But then if you turn it over, I see why the other person sees it that way. And then you're like, oh, well, okay, let me give a little bit of grace in this situation then. Versus, no, I'm right. Look at, this is how it looks. And then you go to the other side. It's just, I think that's such a great example of how how we are just so caught up about, okay, no, it's supposed to be this way. Why don't you get it? Versus, okay, let me see how he's looking at it. Or, you know, that's really, really good. I like that.
And I'm not saying you're not going to get into an argument. I mean, I am right all the time. You should know that about me. I am right. But, no, really, I mean, I'm joking, but sort of. But, you know, eventually at the end of the day, you miss your partner, you know. So as long as you're right and you're mad at them, there's no cuddling or snuggling or, you know, all that stuff. And so how do you – you can't fake it. You can't pretend like you're not upset. You know what I mean? And so we have these processes that people kind of – as they start to see things in a different way in their relationship, the attachment to feeling like you have to win – starts to go away, because the partnership starts to be more important. And so both people are really contributing to their resolution, instead of like you having to go in and say, oh my gosh, I'm so wrong. And, you know, kind of grovel. Nobody wants to do that. So, but when you learn this partnership skill, it's like the both of you are like, okay, this doesn't work. Let's let that go and refocus on what really matters to us. And then you can really start to talk and really, really communicate and resolve things. So this works for people that have great relationships. But maybe there's just one thing that's kind of nagging you. You know, maybe it's, I talked to a couple months ago, and they said, we love each other, we're great, It was a blended family. The man and the woman both had kids from previous relationships. And so the only thing we disagree on is how to raise the kids.
Mm.
But driven crazy because, you know, our kids are really important to us. And so that
right.
comes up for sometimes money, you know, how we spend or how we save. You know, he bought this and I bought that, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, it could have this amazing relationship, but we want your relationship firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, that's really good. Ugh. Wow. I'm, like, so excited to learn more. Let's keep going.
Okay.
So I know we went through the unique ways. So I have a question here. What do you say to parents who disagree on something important? So I know you touched on it. So, like, what activities should they be allowed to participate in, or if they should be allowed to date yet? So kind of tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, going on from the coffee mug example, you know, with our kids, it's not really an option, right, to be changing your view on certain things. You know, if you believe your child shouldn't be dating yet and your partner does and they don't enforce the rule that you set, it's not like you're going to all of a sudden just change your mind on that. You know what I mean? Like, some of these things are fundamental values. You know, for me, when my husband, when I first had our three-year-old son, my husband was a stay-at-home dad for 2 years, and so he was taking care of our baby, and I would come home, and the kid would be, when he was a toddler, he'd be walking around with no clothes on, like, all the time. And I remember coming in the house and saying, what is the baby doing with no clothes? He's cold. And I get so mad because here's this kid that's cold. My husband's like, oh, no, he's quite warm. He's fine. Because my husband's always hot and I'm always cold, right? So I just assume the kid's cold and he has some of the kid's hot. Well, about 14 months in, when my son was 14 months old, my husband bought one of those potty chairs, those potty training chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're standing, he put it in the kitchen. I come in the kitchen one day and my son is standing over this potty chair peeing in it. 14 months. And it's not a bad thing that he has no clothes on because here he's learning how to go. You know what I mean? But it was like the first time that I realized that maybe I didn't have the answer to this problem, but I didn't want to face it. So what happens when you have like this real difference of opinion is you have a disagreement, right? I mean, it looks like they just don't agree and you can't reconcile it because you're not willing to shift your view. You know what I mean? Like, the stuff is too important to change it. So one of the things that we like to do with couples is start to uncover why that belief or that opinion that you have about how things should be for your child, why you have it. Why do you have that belief? I believe that there's some underlying commitment that you have for your child. If you say, okay, no dating, or, you know, no more than 30 minutes of video games, or you have to eat your vegetables, whatever that rule is, that underneath that, I would call it like a surface manifestation. It's like, I think you should eat your vegetables. It's like the surface, it's like the symptom, it's the top level of what you see. But if you dig down, there's something that's more important to you that at the surface looks like eat your vegetables, but deep down inside, it's like what you're really committed to for your child. And it probably has something to do with, we want you to eat your vegetables because I believe that eating vegetables is going to help you be healthy. So that's like the next level down. It's like you have this desire to have them be healthy. And then if you dig down a little bit deeper, it's, okay, I believe that if you're healthy, you're going to have a more productive life. And, you know, if you're not healthy, I'm going to be heartbroken because, you know, and so if you work with people to kind of dig down on what the deeper commitment is and they're really connected to that, what you'll find is that you and your co-parent have the same commitment. You always do. You might have different ways that it manifests, you know, vegetables, no vegetables, 30 minutes of video games, you know, 3 hours of video games, right? There's different ways that it manifests on the surface, but underneath, what you want for your child is really, I again, it's the same thing. But
yeah,
if we spend too much time on the surface stuff, we lose sight of what the deeper commitment is. And so when we reconnect people to what they're really, really committed to, it really matters to them, like why they're doing that thing, why do they care about vegetables, then you can start to find new solutions to the differences that you have, because new possible options start to come open when you're talking about your commitment as opposed to your attachment to a point of view about vegetables or video games.
Okay.
That makes sense. So we do some work to reconnect. Yeah. So we have this. We do. We have the same motivation. I mean, it's not exactly always the same, but part of what we train people is how to live from there, and let some of the other stuff go. Some of the more superficial symptoms or manifestations of our opinions, to let those go, because there's something greater that's more important that can be served perhaps in a different way.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is really, I mean, we'll have our opinions, which it will always be there, but then when we can really look more deeper into the commitment of why we're kind of stating that, how we kind of want it to be, regardless if it's different from our partner, then we get presence of really living in that commitment versus, okay, well, I want it this way and you want it that way, and then there's no understanding. But getting to that core of why it is that you're saying it, you know, like stating that, like, I want the vegetables to be eaten, or I want only 30 minutes of game time versus an hour or whatever it is, right? So getting presence of that under, I think you said underlying, right? The underlining of the commitment versus just stating, okay, this is how I want it to be, and then that's it. And it stops there, and then that's where it's like, wait a minute, I don't understand, like, but that's not how I want it. And then that's where disagreements start, right?
Yeah, because the partnership that you want to have with somebody, that sense of, you know, real connection, and we're working on this together, you know, we're in this together, that doesn't come from arguing about your differences of opinion, obviously. You know, you have to go somewhere else to have that sense of partnership. And I believe that when the two of you are really connected to what you're committed to, and you recognize that in each other, which is why you're together in the first place, I'm telling you. You know, you probably forgot about that, but you know what I mean? It's like you recognize that in each other, maybe you never verbalized it. But from there, you can find amazing solutions that you just, maybe far better than eating your vegetables, that you just hadn't thought of. You know, you start to have more creative juices and more energy for something that's possible because the two of you are working on it together from the commitment that you have.
Well, I have a question. Someone actually messaged in. They can't be on the call. But they are a single mom, and they have an issue with, I think it's their son, and she wants him to go to private school, and the dad, who she's a single mom, so, you know, they're not together, is very like, no, I want him in public school. Private school, all he do is talk about God, and, you know, it's just, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to help you with school. I'm not going to help you with just everything there. So she's like, how is there to be some, I guess, some freedom and ease in this situation where she stands in her commitment, but then also gets in his world versus saying, no, this is how it's going to be, and that's it. So there's no compromise, right? There's like no,
Yeah, that's a perfect example, because that's one of those things that's like, no, I really believe this is what is the right thing for my child. And when it comes to our kids, we're not really willing to compromise. So it's a perfect question. And I think there's two things for her. The first one is to really start to look and see why it matters. You know, why does private school matter? Like, what does private school give that public school doesn't, in her view? And when she says, ask yourself the question, why does it matter that a kid goes to private school? Yes, you want it, but there's more than that. Why do you want it? Why is it important? What's going to happen in private school, or what do you think is going to happen in private school that wouldn't happen in public school? And then ask yourself, well, why is that important to me? And keep asking that why question until you get to the real meaning of it for you. You know what I mean? It's like, it's important to me because I believe something. There's some deep-rooted thing that you believe or that there's that you're committed to having for your child. And you just want to acknowledge that, and that and that the private school is not necessarily the only answer to satisfying that commitment. You know, if you're, so for example, if I want my child to go to private school because I believe that it's going to give them a better chance in life in college, then I have to ask myself, okay, well, why do I care about that? And you kind of just keep peeling back the onion, okay? And then when you finally get down to, like, I think he's going to have the best chance at school and, you know, the best outcome in life, it's like, okay, well, is there any other way that that best outcome could happen? Right? There might be pieces that the private school symbolize that may be able to be satisfied in other ways. And the reason I recommend doing this work first before you talk to the child's father is that you come into that conversation and you talk to the child's father like, you know, I want him to go to private school, why don't you?
You should. Right.
It's just not going to go well. You know, you probably have that conversation before. It just doesn't go well. So you've got to start to give yourself the freedom to recognize why it's important to you and to acknowledge that there's other possible solutions. Not that you have to give in and not that the other person's right, but that there might be other possible solutions. So that's one piece, you know. And then the other piece is actually having a conversation with the child's father. Is what I find in most conversations, especially if two people are disagreeing, is that neither of you can hear each other because your head is so full of your own opinion.
Oh,
so I could yell at you all day long about what my opinion is, and you will never hear me. So do is start to get really interested in why you have the opinion that you have so that you can actually let it out. That's the key. I can't put anything in. I can't tell you anything. I can't recommend anything because you are full. You have your opinion. You're full. They're defensive, right? There's no way in. So the only way I can actually have a real conversation with you is for me to put my defenses away and actually to get interested in you. So she might say to him, hey, you know, I know we've been talking about this school thing for a while, and I know that, you know, we have been disagreeing, and what's more important to me than anything is that you and I come together when it comes to the parenting of our son. I don't want to be at, you know, in a disagreement with you. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel good. So I'm going to put mine aside, my opinion aside for a while, and I will just tell me what's going on about public school, like what's going on with about private school, why don't you like it? Tell me everything. And you have to be genuine. You can't pretend. You can't be doing this as like an agenda to get them to believe
you.
Yeah. You have to be genuinely interested. But that's what starts the conversation. If you can genuinely get interested, figure out how to get genuinely interested in their opinion, you might actually learn something. You might actually learn. Actually, what I find for most people is when they start to really do this, like for real, you know, genuinely interested, not pretend interested in order to get them to come to your side. Okay, people.
Right.
Genuinely interested. Is that you start to find that they have a lot of the similar opinions you do. And it's like, oh, wow, I actually kind of agree with you. And if you're, you know, if you're not too egotistical, you can actually put your, you can actually say, oh, wow, I actually agree with you. We can actually see eye to eye on some of that stuff. And that feels great.
Yeah. That's good.
So I think the most important takeaway is not to, you know, they can't hear you if they're full. You actually have to give them
exactly.
An outlet first.
Yeah, that's really good. I think that's, I'm just looking at my own personal relationship. Sometimes we go into a conversation and I already have my agenda. I'm like, okay, we're going to talk about this, this, and this, and why it's not working and why he he, versus, all right, let me see what's going on over there. I mean, obviously, he probably has a lot to say as well. And then again, it's all my opinions, everything that I'm saying. So that's really good. Yeah, definitely. I just, you know, to everybody that's listening, I mean, really, how much do we do that to ourselves where we just don't allow the other person to talk and us just to really listen to what they have to say, regardless of it being annoying at that moment or whatever it may be.
Right.
Really, like, I mean, it's a new year, right? I'm not huge of saying, like, resolutions and let's make everything new and all of that. That's just my opinion, right? but I do ask that whoever, you know, everybody that's listening to really take this on in all of their relationships. I think even when our kids talk to us, you know, we have our opinions about things, but let's listen first before we have to say something. I think that would be huge if we took that on for, like, the next, is it 31 days we have in January? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next 26 days, because the 5th, let's take that on for like 26 days and see how much more, I think even like the overwhelming and just everything that we have inside of us, I think I really have a feeling it's going to be eliminated. So that's my challenge for you guys that's listening. Just from what we just talked to, we're only in about 30 minutes into this conversation, so this is exciting.
Well, and if you need motivation, it's not about, like, giving in and admitting that you're wrong. It's not really about, like, who's right and who's wrong. It's about,
that's good.
You know, it isn't because, you know, as I'm saying this, it sounds like, oh, my gosh, I have to admit that I was wrong, and I don't want to do that, and it's so hard, to, you know, we don't want to admit that kind of stuff. It's more about what I think that y'all really want, which is a sense of partnership. Like that somebody's doing life with you, and you just can't get that if you're having arguments.
Right.
You know? You just don't feel like you have a partner and that you've got somebody going to bat for you and that you're doing life with if there's certain subjects you can't talk about or subjects that you get angry with each other about because, you know, it's like you're like 80% partnership and then 20% of the time there's stuff you're not talking about or angry about. It's just not how we want to live, you know. And the problem is the longer that stuff sits around, the worse it gets. It starts to build up and it starts to get in the way of how we feel about each other. You know, I hate to break the news to you, but it does, you know, and it's amazing because once the stuff gets cleared out, the stuff that you've been disagreeing about and you start to let go of some of these superficial opinions and start getting reconnected to the commitments that you have, love starts to blossom again. Intimacy, sex, romance, wanting to be with each other, conversations, all that stuff starts to blossom again. It's not like the love went away. It's always there. It's just buried underneath, you know, your differences of opinion. So there's your motivation. You need some for the new year. Really listening first and really trying to see if you can foster some partnership.
That's good. Well, I know you mentioned a 30,000 foot view. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, so one of the things is from 30,000 feet, one of the things that Peter and I teach is how we each have this, you're going to laugh when I say this, but there's this way that we think things are supposed to go. You know, it's like if I made a list of all of the things, you know, how is your house supposed to look? How are you supposed to be with your kids? How are your kids supposed to be in the morning? How is your spouse supposed to be? What do you want in your life? Like, we could sit down for hours and make lists, right, of like all the things that we want, basically. And what happens is, That is like this idealized notion of life, right? It's really like kind of this thing we're striving for. And it really starts to rule our lives without us realizing it. Something that my husband and I call the fantasy because it's like the Disney happily ever after. So what is happily ever after anyway? How come they never say what happens after they got married in those books?
I know, really. It's like they live happily ever after. Okay, how does that work?
I got married. Yeah, the first time I got married, I thought it was happily ever after. And I'm going to be really transparent on your show. I hope you don't mind. But I really thought that nothing bad to me and my husband. And so I was so naive. I laugh when I think of it. But that was a long time ago. But I really thought nothing bad could happen and that I didn't have to do anything to foster the relationship, you know? And so I was just very cavalier about everything in our relationship. And it fell apart. You know, because I had this fantasy that everything would be happily ever after and that everything would just magically match up to this view. Now, I know a lot of people don't necessarily share that same view, but the point is that we have this fantasy, which is this idealized notion of how we want our life to be. And it actually undermines us. It's like it just invalidates you. It can't be that how you are right now is perfect and great. It's, you know, my house is supposed to be cleaner. You know, my kids are supposed to have more better combed hair. My, you know, I'm not supposed to be so fat. You know, all that stuff. And the reason we call this a fantasy is because it's just not achievable. And the reason it's not achievable, I'm not saying you can't strive for a better life, but the reason you can't reach the fantasy is because it is a perfection. And we all know this on an intellectual level.
Right.
We know this on an intellectual level. But in reality, what happens is anytime you're disappointed or frustrated, just look and see, how is it supposed to be right now? And I guarantee you there's this fantasy lurking in the background that is like your measuring stick for life. And we don't do it on purpose. It's kind of insidious. And so from the 30,000-foot view, you know, that's one of the things we start to kind of show you is kind of in the way. Because if you're always trying to meet this fantasy view, you miss out on what's happening. Right, you miss out on like the beauty of what is right now, and it's just a really powerful thing when you really get the kind of magnitude of this idealized life and how it's running you. Like, oh wow, I don't actually have to do that. That fantasy stuff isn't stuff you made up anyway, or stuff that you put in your head. You probably picked it up when you were a little kid. You know, the wedding and the white dress and the knight in shining armor and all that stuff. You know,
right.
And so. But it causes us to be frustrated. So our job is to have to be able to appreciate what you have. And so that's what we do in the 30,000 foot view, is we actually start to expose some of these things like the fantasy. And you go, oh, wow, I don't actually have to be like that. Why have I been so upset? I can actually love myself as I am right now.
That's really good. Wow. I think that's so true. I think I really got present to that. I mean, not even when I started watching Disney movies with my daughter. So that was probably like, what, three, before I met my husband. So that was about 4 or 5 years ago. I was like, wow, this has been like engraved in me. Like I've been brainwashed about this, how it, like a relationship supposed to look like just off of the Disney movies. And then all of a sudden, just the relationship I was, you know, in with my daughter's father, it was just not that, and how much I was like living in that. Like, okay, no, it's supposed to be this way. I'm supposed to be like the princess, and you know, everything's supposed to be so perfect. And then when I really got present to that, it's like, wow, maybe that's not how it's supposed to be. So I think that's another thing, just for the listeners to really, I mean, how are you being with your husband or with your child's father or just in life? Like, are you so caught up about that fantasy or even like it should be this way and it's not, and you're like striving for that, but it's really striving for perfection, and that's it's just not going to happen. But I do like the fact that you said it's okay to strive for a better life. I mean, that I think when you look at it in that way, it's like it takes a lot off your shoulders. So, and that's really good that you mentioned that, because that's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, I think if there's one, it's one thing to be what I call run by the fantasy, you know, where you're frustrated or upset and you're not really aware of why, you know, it just happens. You know, frustration and upset and anger, it just happens to you. That's the fantasy. But once you really acknowledge the fantasy and see what it is, you can actually choose if that's the life you want to go for. You know, that's a whole different thing. If you want to live in a nicer house and you're frustrated that you're in a bummier house, you know, that's fine. But rather than, but once you see that the fantasy is, oh, the nicer house is better, it's like, okay, actually I'd like to move into this nicer house. Is it worth the effort that I'm going to put to it? Is this where I want to put my attention and my energy? And then you actually have a choice about it as opposed to just being frustrated.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, really good. I think for those listening, kind of, I hope it's, again, opened your eyes to something a little different versus, like, being stuck in that, like, that feeling, like, oh, why isn't it, like, the way I want it to be, you know, versus it being, okay, well, I actually have choice and I have power in this, and it could be kind of, you know, it could be along the lines of what I want, but there's just this one little thing I need to take out of the context, right? And that's this should be. I think that's really, 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 really big.
Yeah. My husband and I, we just decided to sell our house, and one of the things I'm in corporate sales for about 15 years, and I quit my job last year, and we wanted to make some changes because we're really passionate about our business and our mission and getting the work out there. And so we're making some changes to have all the finances work and everything. But it's not easy, you know, but it's like the choice that we keep making, and we're really glad we're making it. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to being, like, frustrated that we're not there yet or that we've had to make these choices and, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It was a bad move. So it applies in all kinds of situations.
Yeah, that's really good. I have my mom messaging me on Facebook. Sorry for that interruption.
No problem. More questions?
She's so funny. I'm so glad to have my parents. Sorry, I just needed to put that in there. You know what? This is a really good question. I really like this one. What else do parents need to have a solid partnership and foundation for their family? I think that'll be the last question because we've got about 10 minutes left. So talk into that, and then I'll go ahead and just close out and then let the listeners know what you have to offer for them as well.
Okay. Yes, I'll be brief on this. There's really three things. The first one is, you need to, oh my gosh, I totally just had pregnant brain.
Oh, trust me. Totally understand where you're coming from.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Okay, here it is. Okay, got it. Okay, the first one is you need to see the things that are undermining relationships in general. One of the things, and that's actually the very first thing that we teach, is you start to uncover the things that are not specific to you, but that get in the way of relationships. So, like, you ever hear the phrase, the honeymoon phase is over?
Yes.
Right? Or you should go on a date night every week. You know, these things that people say but nobody actually does. Or the teenage years, the terrible twos, all that stuff, is words in our language that point to things that really get in the way of us having great relationships. And when you see what those things are that are kind of getting in the way, you don't have to fall into their trap anymore. Okay, so that's the first thing. You got to see the stuff that's kind of dragging you down without you knowing it. It's probably the best way to say it. The second thing is you need what I call a North Star. The North Star is something we work with people to create, which is really the vision of the essence of your partnership. Like, where are you going and why are you going there? It's like a guiding principle or your commitment or your vision or purpose. And we create it with couples. And when you know what it is and the two of you can articulate it, it's like you can keep returning there in any storm. And when you know what your North Star is, like my husband and I, ours is empowering partnership. We have a pledge to each other to empower each other as partners. And when we're not being like that, it's super obvious. And so sometimes we don't know what it looks like to empower each other, but we know when we're not. Right? And so
right.
We have this thing called the North Star, and that's where we're going. And so no matter what we're doing, that's what we're looking at. You know, so if I'm out of the house and he's at home with the kids, there was a time when I was gone a lot and I felt really bad, and he's like, no, honey, we're empowering partnership. And what that looks like right now is I'm home with the kids and you're out doing the work in the world. You know?
Mm.
We're still on the same team. So that's the second piece, is you need a North Star. Like, where are you going? What's your vision? And then the third thing is you need some real skills. Because you got to learn how to have conversations without getting upset, how to listen, how to make room for your partner to express themselves so that they can feel heard, so that you can actually start to connect better. Like, real actual, like, what to say, when to say it, that kind of stuff. Like, the street level, you know, what to do when. You need that piece, too. So two of them are sort of conceptual, and then the third one is, like, actual communication skills, tactical stuff that you need. So those are the main three.
That's good. Wow. Isn't that, I think that is so awesome, the North Star, just, like, having your own little thing together. And then when you, like, are kind of off track of that, you guys can be reminded, like, hey, are we, you know, going towards the North Star, or are we, like, destroying each other, right? And
exactly.
You're just so present. And it's something that you guys both created together. I think that's really, really important versus, okay, this is how it's going to be, and, you know, when I'm not being that way, can we just, you know, can you remind me? Instead, it's like, let's sit down and what's our vision? What's our purpose in this relationship? Where do we want to see ourselves go? You know, where do we want to see ourselves going? And let's remind each other. I think that's so huge. And I love the fact that you said, like, we're on the same team. And I think we're like your mom, your dad. And I'm sure, you know, you've talked about it, like, just like when you're against each other, right, as parents. And it's not supposed to be that way. So it's very good that you said, like, a team, you know, really being in that spirit versus like, okay, you're dad, I'm mom, and this is just how it's going to be. Like, that really, really.
You do your thing, and I'll do my thing. No, we're actually on the same team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we got
to have fun.
We're on the team, too. You know,
exactly.
Our deep stratton. Yeah, we're deep stratton, so we're team D. And our kids know they're on team D. Yeah, they know. Our 12-year-old, when he mows the lawn, he knows he's doing it for team D. He doesn't love it, but he does it. And he's like, yeah, I contributed to team D today. Because he knows that when he does that, it's important to the family. So he knows he's part of empowering partnership. We'll each have our role on the team.
That's good. I think everything you talked about today is just, I think we kind of know it's there, right? And it's just reminders, or even just going a little deeper into those different subjects, or, you know, just the different little strategies that you have. And I'm sure there's just so much more that you go in depth into, right? That is probably not able to be seen without really learning about that, right? So I think just really, it's really, really good. Everything that we talked about, I really hope everybody enjoyed Jennifer. I mean, I think it was so needed, especially to start off the year the way, to start it off kind of, I don't say right, but just get some more tools, get some more resources into our life to help us with, like, intimacy and love and connection. And I'll just read your, like, tagline because I think it's so great. Connect, communicate, and create relationships you love. I think we all want that in our life. And Jennifer and her husband Peter definitely deliver on that, just with all the work they've been doing for her. Jennifer's been doing it for 20 years, and then Peter, he's been doing it for how many years now? He's led, like, a large personal development company, but I'm sure he's just done so much more, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, and a lot of it, you know, it's a combination of personal error and then personal learning, and then also
exactly.
the school.
I think it's, yeah, definitely experience. I think we learn the most through our experience, and then we get present to that, and then we get some tools in our life, and then we're like, oh, we're not going to do that again, right?
Yeah.
I know you had a free offer for our listeners. If you can go ahead and just tell us a little bit about it. I want you to say it, then I say it, and then I mess it up or something. So,
yeah. So I have a free report that I put together specifically for parents. It's called How to Avoid the Parent Trap, which is seven mm-hmm. mistakes parents make when trying to present a united front. So it's a great free report. It's fairly short, but it'll give you some maybe new ways to resolve things if you have been disagreeing on how to raise the kids or other issues even, but it's specifically on seven mistakes parents make when I try to present to United Front, and it's a free report. And so the link that I gave you, that's for that free report. So you can go and get that.
Yeah, well, everybody where you can find that is going to be on fulltimemom.org, and it'll be under Mommy Blog. And I'll have the recording up there for everybody to re-listen if there's some notes that you missed or there's that one thing that you're like, I wish I could go back to it. It will be up there. And then also I'll have a link to the free report. Again, it's The Parent Trap, Seven Mistakes Parents Make When Trying to Present a United Front. And then I'll have all of the information so you can go ahead and reach out to Jennifer if you'd like, just to get more tips and even possibly work with her. So I just want to thank you, Jennifer, just taking your time out of your day and just being with us here at Full Time Mom. It's just really huge to just continue building this village, this community, and just get expert advice versus kind of how we think it should be versus, you've been through it, you've studied a lot, and you're just helping so many families out there. So I really appreciate you just being with us for this hour.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. Well, I'm going to close off. Again, everybody can go to fulltimemom.org and find all of the awesome information that we went over. And then you can go ahead and get that free report. So thank you again, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's program, Mommy Monday with Full-Time Mom, as much as I did. And don't forget to listen to our next show. Visit us at pwnradio.net. And I am Franciele Daly. Have a wonderful and blessed day, everyone. And Happy New Year. Thanks again. Bye-bye.